Good morning, church family. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be here in God's church on His Sabbath day. Are you? I can't think of any better place to be. Well, yes, I can think of a little better place to be for me sitting down there today. Well, we're happy you're here. We hope that you're blessed because we've worshiped a loving God. You know, the pastor has been doing a series from the book of Proverbs and entitled, oops, it says, No Standing on Shoulder. It was Stand on My Shoulder is the title of his series that he's been doing in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to be continuing on in Proverbs. And today we're going to be talking about wisdom's house. And we just read about it in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. And as we look at this, this is all familiar ground because this quarter in our Sabbath school time, we're studying the book of Proverbs. I don't know if that's a coincidence or well planned. I think it was a planning of a wise pastor. And so we have been studying from the book of Proverbs. And last week's lesson, not this one we just finished, was Divine Wisdom, which was on Proverbs 8 and 9. And just a quick review of that lesson. In that lesson, we learned that wisdom is personified. Now, you see a statue there. That is the statue of Sophia. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom. And so this is someone's attempt to personify wisdom as a lady. We also learned in that lesson that Jesus is the divine wisdom. And Jesus himself is a personification of wisdom. Also, we know that wisdom is a part of the very nature of God himself. We also learn that wisdom was present at creation. Also in that lesson, we looked at Proverbs chapter 9, and there was two women that were described. One was named Wisdom, the other was Folly. The pure woman was representing wisdom, and the harlot represented folly. But verse 1, which we've read already, said, Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And so I was trying to figure out, well, what are these seven pillars? Well, of course, we're all very familiar with seven. Seven is a big number in the Bible. In fact, it comes from the root Hebrew word of savah, which means to be satisfied, and has become to mean spiritual perfection. And we see this all throughout the Bible, the number seven. And here's just a few of them. There are 7 days of creation. And the seventh day Sabbath. We're worshiping on the seventh day, which is the Bible injunction. We find that God created the Sabbath during creation week. And then there's the seven candlesticks that were inside the sanctuary. We also find seven candlesticks in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, talking about representing the seven churches of Revelation. We also find in Revelation that there are seven seals, and there are seven trumpets, and there are seven vials or bowls. And, of course, we're not going to describe any of these today. But then today we have seven pillars. So what are these seven pillars? And so first of all, a pillar, as we know, is basically a support that holds up the roof of a structure. Of course, we don't use so many pillars in building our houses today, But we do see them occasionally. But they're very strong. They're permanent. And so this house that's built of seven pillars, you know, is imitating something that has been strongly built. It's meant to remain there. And so, again, the question, what are these seven pillars? Well, if you looked at your quarterly, on page 35, it says, the seven pillars she has hewed allude to the 7 days of creation. And that's certainly possible, because back in Proverbs chapter 8, starting around verse 12 and so forth, there's a strong allusion to creation in there. And so that's definitely a possibility. I decided to continue my search. I looked it up in the Bible Commentary. And I found on page 975 of volume 3, it says, the house of wisdom may be said to be fully and perfectly built and firmly supported, since the pillars are hewn of stone. But to find a representation for each of these pillars is to indulge in conjecture. Well, that's probably very possibly true too. And so I decided to continue digging a little further. So I went to our friend Google. I don't know, anyone use Google here? Oh, yeah. And so I Googled seven pillars of wisdom. And the first thing that popped up was this fellow by the name of T.E. Lawrence, born in 1888, died in 1935. He was a British officer, and he had wrote a book called The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. It was an autobiography of his experience as a British soldier. And he had named his book after the Seven Pillars rock formation in Wadi Rum in present-day Jordan, because he was a British officer there in the Sinai Peninsula in Jordan during the First World War. Here's a picture of him as he was dressed, and you might recognize him more for what we know him as Lawrence of Arabia. But I can tell you that he comes way, way, way after King Solomon, so he can't be the seven pillars that Solomon's talking about in Proverbs. Those rock formations may have been there then, but I don't know if Solomon would have known about that rock formation. So I don't think this is what the Bible was referring to. And so there I found several different scenarios. And I just want to present them to you quickly here. I'm calling this scenario number one. If you look at Luke chapter 11, verses 31, Luke mentions here that, let me read it. Talking about the Queen of the South, which most people ascribe to the Queen of Sheba, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. And so Luke refers to wisdom of Solomon. And what could that be? And of course, Luke also says someone greater than Solomon. Just two verses down from that, we read, no one, when he has a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. And thank you, Margie, for that song, Don't Hide Your Light Under the Bushel. Perfect for today. And so here we have reference to this light, and of course, just before that, Solomon's wisdom. And so who might be more wiser than Solomon might be and have reference to this light? Well, if you look in Matthew 5:15, we find this verse. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Now, this is part of the Bible we call the Sermon on the Mount. And just a few verses before this are the Beatitudes. And so this person thought, well, maybe these seven pillars of wisdom are the Beatitudes. I could live with that. However, when I counted in my Bible, there was nine Beatitudes or nine blessings. So maybe there's more wisdom. This author that suggested that the Beatitudes is that there are the first seven are what we call active Beatitudes, and the last two are passive. Okay, whatever. But that's not a bad way to think about it. Another way is, another author says, well, the book of James in the New Testament, it talks about faith, wisdom, and action. So maybe the wisdom, these seven pillars of wisdom, can be found in the book of James. And so he turned to James 3:17, where it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And there we are, we got seven. So who knows? Maybe these are the seven pillars, and these are certainly virtuous. They certainly would be well represented as being wise pillars. And here's how you could look at it diagrammatically. Another scenario I call the seven good ideas. This author just chose seven good Bible verses and put them together. And you can see there the first one, be guided by God's word. It's good counsel. Be guided by God's character. Be guided by Jesus' example. Be guided by what is right and not by possible consequences. Be guided by biblical standards rather than biblical stories. Be guided by principles of love, and be guided by God's law. All good counsel for us. But I'm not sure this fits the criteria that we're looking for. Scenario four, I call church leaders, because we find in Galatians 2:9, in fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me. And they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. And so this person felt like the seven pillars were either some of the prophets or apostles or ministers of the early church. Maybe. Then Hugo Grotius, a Dutch theologian, he felt like the seven pillars were the five senses. But there's seven pillars, so he added voice and memory. Sight, hearing, taste, smell, voice, and memory. And that was the seven pillars to him. Another Dutch theologian by the name of Johannes, not sure how to say that last name, but he felt the seven pillars were the seven churches of Revelation chapter 1 and the seven time periods associated with those churches. And it's an idea. But I like to get back to Solomon's words. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And look at this. The second word, has. It's in the past tense. And so we shouldn't be looking forward of this point in the Bible, but back. Because you look at the rest of chapter 9, which we did in our Bible study, in our Sabbath school class, it talks about those two women, you know, the pure woman and the woman of folly, but there's nowhere in that chapter a list of seven virtues or whatever. But here, it has to be in the past before her. And so the question is, you know, why do people build houses? And of course, we answer that as we build houses so we can live in them. We dwell in them. And most of us like to dwell in the house with somebody else. As a general rule, we prefer that. And so if we go back into chapter 8 of Proverbs, we do find there is a place that talks about dwelling. And if we look at Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 14, we find these words. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And so there are seven right there. So I'm wondering if this is what Solomon was referring to. Here's a way to look at it diagrammatically, the seven pillars. Let's just look at these for a few moments here. Let's look at prudence here for just a moment. And here's what the Bible here has to say about prudence in Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so we find, here's another verse, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. And so what is a prudent person? What is prudence? Well, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, it says that it is cautious or careful in its approach to things. And so another verse talks about the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. And so, you know, prudence is a very important virtue because we may have a lot of head knowledge, but having a lot of knowledge in our head, does that necessarily make us wise? No. I think many of us know people that know a lot, but a lot of times their mouth gets in the way. They say things before. Where in a prudent person, prudence is I would call it clever, appropriate application of knowledge. And so even though you may have a lot of knowledge, you know when to use that knowledge. Next pillar is knowledge and discretion. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. Here in Proverbs 10:14, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. That's pretty blunt, is it? Solomon didn't really waste a lot of words on that. And so, here again, knowledge and discretion are important. They kind of come together because, as I said earlier, we may have all this information in our heads. But sometimes, even if we have this important information, it can be difficult if we don't have all the knowledge or the knowledge we do here is faulty. A lot of times we jump to conclusions on some things, and that really gets us into trouble. And so just knowing that we may not have all of the knowledge or the situation or the information, you know, prudence can help us still make a wise decision in that situation. Here again, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. What kind of knowledge are we talking about here? It's just not worldly knowledge, is it? It's knowledge about God. That's what we're talking about here, a special knowledge. Next pillar is the fear of the Lord. And lots of verses on fear of the Lord. And Job 28:28, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. Now, if you look up that Hebrew word fear, it means fear, terror, but it also means respect and reverence. And I think it really depends on what your perspective is. And here, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You know what I mean with on the fear of the Lord? We just look, when the Lord comes, there's two classes of people, aren't there? The saved and the lost. Now, those that are lost, what are they doing? They're very terrified and fearful. They're calling for the rocks to call on them. But those that are awaiting with anticipation for Christ's return, it's reverence and respect and awe for the Creator God that's come to take them home. Next column we want to look at is counsel. And Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Here is God's law, our counselors. I should back up here. Counsel, of course, is really just advice. And we can get counsel from all different places, can we not? We can go to different people. Depending on who we go, we get different advice. But really, the counsel that we're talking about here is the counsel that God wants us to go for. And what is that counsel that God wants us to turn to? And I think it's number one, it's through prayer. When we go to prayer, go to God, ask for his counsel or advice. He will lead us in the right way. Also, his word is full of counsel for us. These are the appropriate places for us to go for true counsel. And of course, we can always, as I said, godly men, but we should take prayer and the word before that. Sound judgment. And here we find, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. One day there was a story told of a farmer who was working his pumpkin patch. And it was noonday, and he decided it was time to take lunch. So he took his lunch, walked off to the edge of his pumpkin patch, and sat under a pine tree. And as he was sitting under the pine tree, he looked up and saw all these pine cones in the tree. And he got to thinking about that and was wondering, you know, look at this huge pine trees with these big sturdy branches and those itty little bitty pine cones on there. And then my pumpkin patch, you got these huge pumpkins with these just these little itty bitty vines that hold the pumpkins. If I were God, I think I would put the pumpkins on the big sturdy tree and the pine cones on that. And as he was thinking about how smart and wise he was, a pine cone fell out of the tree and hit him on the head. At which point he says, well, maybe I'm glad that it was only pine cones and not pumpkins on the pine tree. So, you know, sound wisdom is a very important thing. Next pillar is insight or understanding. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Psalms 119:34. Give me understanding, I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And so understanding is a very important thing for us. And as far as understanding, you might have heard this before. Why are the railroad tracks 4 feet, 8.5 inches wide? Most of us probably know that by now. But if you don't know, give you some understanding. That's based on the fact that the railroads first were built by the British gauge, and the British gauge was because their trains were made from trams that were pulled by horses, and those were 4 feet, 8.5 inches. And before that, the wagons were made, and were 4 feet, 8.5 inches wide. And that's because the most extensive highway throughout Europe was the Roman highway that they had developed. And the Romans had these war horse chariots. And they would be pulled by two horses, and those wheels were 4 feet, 8.5 inches wide. And it's so that the 4 feet, 8.5 inches is just the width you need for the rears of two horses to pass between the wheels between the chariots. And of course, as they were going down the road, they made these ruts, and so that the further wagons wouldn't have trouble, everyone made them that same width. So now you had all this information, but before you didn't understand, but now you understand why. And it's important for us to have understanding. And before I move on to the next pillar we have is power or strength. Well, I should back up once here on understanding. To really, as you look here, you see all of these pillars. And to help us put this into perspective about understanding, you really need to look at three pillars together. The first pillar is prudence. And this is the wise application of knowledge, or the how. The second pillar there is knowledge. Is information itself, or the what. But the sixth pillar, which is insight or understanding, is the why. And so you have the how, what, and why. And just to illustrate that, Jesus Christ, he walked in his ministry, active ministry, was 3.5 years, and he was giving his disciples through that a lot of training and information. They had the what, and he was teaching them the techniques, the how, you know, because he sent them out to go to the village. But they did not understand it until after his death. Then it finally dawned on him, on them, why they were doing this. And so understanding. Now, the last one is power. And maybe... You might have to advance it for me, Larry. There we go. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. Ecclesiastes 7:19. Let's go to the next slide, Larry. When we last slide, we're talking about strength as the pillar. Here we're not talking about necessarily physical strength. In fact, we can be pretty sure it wasn't, but more talking about the strength of character and the strength of nobility that we have when we do what Christ wants us to do. Oh, thank you. You know, there is a story told that illustrates that sometimes your biggest weakness can actually be your biggest strength. And the story is told of a 10-year-old boy that wanted to take judo. And he had been in a devastating car accident and had lost his left arm. But he still wanted to take judo. And so they took him to a school, and the instructor said he would try to teach him. And so for 3 months, the instructor instructed this boy on doing just one move. And one day, the little boy asked him, "Well, don't you think I should learn some more moves?" And the instructor said, "No, just trust me. This is the only move you need." And so he accepted that and continued to train. Finally, day came for his first tournament. And he went in, and the first tournament he had, he actually won quite easily. His second match, same thing. He really won quite easily. And then the third match he had, it was a little bit bigger boy and a little more experienced, and he struggled a little bit, but the bigger boy dropped his guard for just an instant, and the little boy ran in, did his move, and pinned him, and moved on. Little boy made it all the way to the final of this little judo match, this judo tournament. And the other boy in the final was a big, husky boy, quite a bit bigger than this 10-year-old, and really strapping, looking strong. And so everyone thought, well, there's just no way. And as the match started, it looked like it was going badly for this little boy. And so the referee stopped the match and talked to the coach and said, "Well, don't you think you should just forfeit this?" And the judo teacher says, "No, I think we should let him go on." And so they resumed the match. And lo and behold, this big guy got careless because he thought he was so much bigger and heavier. He let down his guard for a moment, and this little boy moved in, did his move, and pinned him, much to the amazement to everyone in the crowd. On the way home, the judo instructor and this little boy were talking about the match, and the little boy said, "Master, how did I win the tournament with only one move?" And he replied, "You won for two reasons. First, you almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. And second, the only known defense for that move is for your opponent to grip your left arm." Amazing story. Anyway, just a review of the seven pillars. We talked about, is it possibly creation? And then, or is it the Beatitudes? Is it James' list in James 3:17? Or is it the seven good ideas? Or is it the church leaders? Or is it our senses, seven senses? Or the seven churches of Revelation, or Solomon's list in Proverbs 8, 12 to 14. I'll let you decide. Maybe the Bible commentaries say it's all conjecture. Who knows? But I like to look at Jesus Christ himself for the answer. We find in Luke 2, verse 40, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus was the personification of wisdom. And this was, in fact, prophesied about him. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 11, you know, this is a messianic prophecy. There it says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Those are the seven pillars we just talked about. So I think Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of this prophecy and of those seven pillars that Solomon was talking about that built the house that wisdom dwells in. And you know what? Jesus wants us to have that wisdom too. For he says in James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." That is God's gift to us today too. That same wisdom that guided the life of Jesus Christ, he wants us also to live. That's time now for our closing hymn. And if you look, the second verse is, "Be thou my wisdom."
All right, let's turn in our hymnal to 547 and let's think about these words as we sing them. Please stand.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, be first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of O ruler of all.
Our Father God, as we depart your house, may your Spirit go before us and keep us safe in your hands as we day by day walk in the path that you have selected for each and every one of us. May you fill us with that wisdom on high, that we may be ready when you come in the clouds. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who made this all possible. In his name we pray. Amen.